Today, I want to help you pulverize your patterns, right? So I am talking to Jed Brotherson, and he came on to talk about pulverizing the patterns that we have, because a lot of us are feeling stuck and we are having low self-worth and we're struggling maybe in our leadership fully. And we really want to connect with ourselves. And sometimes it just feels hard, and it shouldn't feel hard. And I want to make sure that I brought a professional on here who's been over two decades, you know, helping people tired of chasing success, you know, really just helping people turn themselves around and pulverize the patterns that are holding them back from all they can do and all they can be. So you're going to love this conversation. I cannot wait for to hear back from you about your thoughts, about what you think this is, you know, done for your life. Share this with someone that you think wants to pulverize their patterns. All right. Talk to you soon. Listen, if you've ever done all the work, but you're still feeling stuck, this is going to be the episode for you. Because today we are diving deep with Jed. I have Jed here, Jed Brotherson. I hope I said that right. He's a speaker, a transformational life coach, the host of Pulverizing the Patterns podcast. He's also the creator of Pulverizing the Patterns method. And he's helping people break free from the unconscious cycles that, well, let's face it, we all have this, right? Self-sabotage, low self-worth, you know, struggling with leadership, all of the things. So after two decades of chasing success in trades and in healthcare, Jed realizes that it wasn't the outer achievement, like a lot of us just keep going after, right? That changes our lives, but it's the radical self-awareness. So through deep work and this around emotional suppression and generational patterns and, you know, authentic identity and all that stuff. This is why I love talking to him. So I listened to his podcast, and I was also a guest on his podcast, right? Because Jed had become a guide for those ready to just stop performing and start becoming. So go ahead, go grab your cup of coffee, go grab a pen and a pad, because this conversation is going to go in, okay? Let's welcome Jed. Jed, welcome. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you for that introduction, Nina.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here. I had such a great time on your podcast. You're very thoughtful as a host. You ask a lot of really great questions. And I've been listening to a lot of the episodes because I'm like, you can't get out of the Jed wormhole. When you're in there, you're in there. You just got to keep going on and listen to the next one. It's so good. So welcome to Straight Talk. I'm really grateful that you're here. How are you?
So great. So happy to be here. Thank you for
good.
The
support. Thank you. So listen, I know I gave a little bit of an intro about who you are, but I like to go a little bit deeper than that. So who is Jed exactly? Who are you?
Well, just a regular guy, just trying to live life. And I was stuck in the same, trying to accomplish my wants and wishes and dreams. And I had a small construction company that I ran into some difficulties with that in that recession in 2009. There was a divorce,
yeah.
Remarried, great family, great kids. I trained in healthcare and I did that from 2013, up until just a few years ago. And one day I just realized that I wasn't living my life. And so it started with that deep personal assessment, you know, whose life am I living if it's not my choices? And starting with that assessment is really what we all have to do. Are we living in alignment with what we want to do, what we want to be, what we want to have?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I started. And then, I mean, it's been a big journey. I have my podcast now, Pulverizing the Patterns, but when I initially started that journey, it was going to be about power couples. But I have a great ability to help people communicate, not naturally, but it was learned. and so I thought, well, I can help couples communicate so much better. And it's just kind of evolved into, as I kept finding more patterns that I had to break to become a better communicator and to get my message out in a better way. It, I had so many of them, I wanted a faster system.
I hear that.
I would try things and do things, and I kept thinking, okay, well, we need to speed this up. How do we speed it up? And the more I ask that question, the more the universe just brings me to people that have the answers.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think that's true for a lot of us, especially those of us who do get that moment of clarity, or if you want to call it clarity, that moment where you go, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I'm running a pattern, or I'm repeating something and I don't know why I keep repeating this thing. Was there a thing for you? Like, was there something that happened, or something that kind of brought you to that question of, am I living the life I want to live, or what am I doing? What was that? Do you know what that thing was for you?
Yeah. So back when I was working in healthcare, I did a travel opportunity, and I was travel nursing. I felt like I was still meeting the need that I wanted to fill. I was helping people. I felt like I was getting compensated properly. And then at the end of those, I did two contracts, and I felt like I was still in the matrix, if you will. I was just deep in it. But I felt like I was making a little bit of headway. And then I returned home, and one of my children was hospitalized with asthma. And due to an oversight on my insurance, it essentially nullified any progress that I thought I had made financially.
Wow.
Over that last little bit. And so it just really made me pause and think, okay, well, God's not going to do this to me. So how am I doing this to myself?
Mm-hmm.
And really seeking the answers to that question.
Yeah.
Kind of, it was a deep dive into helping me understand what patterns I was running that was impeding my progress.
Yeah. You know, you also mentioned that you needed to, you know, come up with your method because other methods were, as you put it, a little too slow, and you needed something that worked a little more rapidly, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that I find that happens to a lot of us, is that we try all the things, Jed. We try all of the things, right? So tell me about that. Tell me about that little bit of that journey that you went through trying to find the method that you now have. Why did you feel like it was too slow? Were you not getting results? Were you falling back into patterns? Tell me about that.
So one thing about training into the medical field, you learn to identify everybody with a label. And so, so I attached to the label that I had ADHD, and then I attached to the label that I picked up symptoms of PTSD going through that downturn in that economy with that bankruptcy and a divorce back there in 2009. And as I had picked up all these little identities, now I have this, now I have this, I was seeking the treatment for some of these things. Inside of seeking treatment for PTSD, I met a phenomenal doctor down in Texas. Her name is Lana Moreau. Anybody that may have symptoms or something related to what I'm going to share, absolutely recommend her in every way. And so the treatment that we did didn't actually just help with ADHD and PTSD. I had symptoms of a brain injury that I was unaware of. And getting that treatment, it allowed me to shift my perspective in ways that I just didn't understand how it even be possible. And since that time, I mean, my life just works in a completely different way.
That's like, so good.
Like, now I have the full deck of cards to play the game with, if you will.
Where in Texas is she?
Austin.
Okay, what's her name again?
Lana, L-A-N-A, Dr. Lana Moreau, M-O-R-R-O-W. Okay.
Because as you're talking, I'm like, Jed, are we like siblings from another mister or something? Like, what is happening here? You know, because it's 2008, my family and I lost everything. We went homeless, and it was so hard, especially when you have kids and you have to send them to families' houses because you don't want them sleeping in the car with you or in your friend's living room or whatever. It was the most difficult thing we have gone through, and we lost our home and cars, and we just lost everything. And that caused a lot of trauma for me. and PTSD too, because even like if we struggle even a little bit financially, I'm already panicked. I'm panicking, right? Because I don't want to ever feel that again. I also have ADHD, and I was a medical assistant for 15 years and an ultrasound technician. So I was in medical too. And it's just interesting. I'm hearing you talk. I'm like, what is he? Like the male version of Nina? What's going on here? But I would love to know more about Lana Monroe. So I'm gonna go check her out. Not that this is what the segment is about, but you gave her a shout out. So I got to go check it out because I'm in Austin. So, but you know, that's really interesting, right, Jed? Because you're right. We do give ourselves a lot of labels, even labels of fear, even labels of self-sabotage, even labels of being stuck. Even we give ourselves those labels too. I wonder if we do that subconsciously to give ourselves permission not to do something uncomfortable. What do you think about that?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Because for me, those things I identified with just kept adding up. Like I was ignoring signs from my body telling me that I wasn't happy or healthy as I was gaining a lot of weight. So I went to do the pulmonology tests. So I did a CPAP for a while, but then once you get sick, it felt like every time I would put that thing back on after you get sick, like you just get sick again from the device.
Yeah.
So there was a point where I hit a weight. Also, I was just like, this isn't me. It was kind of the same time that I had that other epiphany. It was just, I have this weight issue. I have this, what I'm doing isn't working. So really getting into that self-assessment as to what's going on is the very beginning.
We have
to get real with ourselves about where we're at. So what I realized for me was I would do these programs to try to help me advance as a coach or to help me advance with my system. And I hadn't really done all of the work. I didn't know all of the work that I needed to uncover that. So to me, that assessment is the biggest part of the journey, because once we find our power with our motivation, then it's a lot easier from there.
Yeah. Well, you talk a lot about, and I know last time we talked on your podcast, we talked about your philosophy, which is centers around like uncovering what you're talking about, these unconscious patterns that we have, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering, like, for those who are listening, right, let's give them something to look at. What are some of the most common, like inherited, because we all have inherited patterns, right? I want to talk to you about that. Like, what are the ones that you see that are most common that people don't even realize that they're running in their lives, that they're running this unconscious pattern? They don't even realize it. What do you think is the most, with all the, you know, patients or no, I shouldn't say patients, your clients that you've had. So I went to medical. All of the clients that you had and everything. Talk to me a little bit about that. What do you think is the most common?
So what I kind of see is that we all kind of have the same type of archetypal beliefs systems that get in our way, and then they just show up in different ways. And so learning to understand these archetypes, which I'm still not a pro at, but people like Carolyn Mace, when you take their information, it makes it so much easier to stand on the shoulders of these pros.
Yeah.
And she shares an example of this story of how an archetype shows up in our life. She was building a fence around a property as she's standing out observing, you know, the people putting the fence in, and a neighbor shows up and starts asking questions about the fence. And it seems mundane at first, like, oh, we're putting in a fence. She noticed nobody else has a fence in their yard. Like she's creating this conversation. So Carolyn looks at her like, and then there was a point where it triggered where this neighbor resembled like a Catholic nun, where Carolyn had gone to Catholic school as a kid. So she said she found herself just turning and babbling in response. It's not going to be as tall as these posts are, you know, as they plant these posts, they're very tall, and they put these things in, and they chop it down to where it's supposed to be. And so it's not going to be a fortress. It's just going to be a little fence. And as she's recalling this, thinking, man, here's a person that I don't owe this response to, and to allow my emotional reactivity to surface with. And so for me, that shows up, I mean, in many ways, but here's one about how it showed up for me in generational programming. If anybody, nobody reads their grandmother's journals, but I found myself reading my grandmother's journal. And there's a part in there where she says, a person borrowed my grandfather's truck for a couple of days and now it needs a lot of work. And then in my real life, I'd switched my wife's cars for a couple of days. When I got my car back and I'm going to pick up my son, and I hit the brakes and my wheel wiggled a little bit. Nothing big, but my mind immediately went to, she borrowed the car for a couple of days. Now it's going to need some work.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
And that instant connection with, oh my heck, my grandmother died when I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
So there's no way that she could have taught me how to say the exact words from that journal entry in my real life. And so that opened up a new beginning of, well, how can I find more of these? Because if I could just identify that that isn't my belief, then it's easier to rewrite.
Right? Wow.
So I kind of took some of these experiences and built them into this, you know, the introduction and the personal audit phase. Because when we can understand those, then it just becomes a choice rather than some big arduous reprogramming your life.
So let's talk about, because I want to talk about then, how do you know that? Like, how do you separate or know your identity then, right? Because what's the difference between what you do, like performing with, like, say, confidence, and but actually living from a place of real self-worth, right? Because a lot of our patterns also come, maybe, you know, if we've been taught, you know, from birth to whatever, they usually say to birth till 7 years old is when you'll develop all of these patterns or belief systems, right? Mm-hmm. And so you were two when grandma died, so you really didn't know her. So you're talking more like somehow that generationally still affected you. Right? How do we then know the difference between us performing and being a person who's just performing, we're showing up with performance, or really living from a place of self-worth, right? I'm just wondering how we can tell which one we're operating in, if we're actually showing up the way we're supposed to show up in the world and do the things that we are, or are we just in patterns? Are we just faking it till we make it? Does that question make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
This is where we all live. Mm-hmm. Right? For me, it's understanding that old example of the ice glacier, where you have 5% sitting on the top, 95% sitting underneath the ocean where you can't see it. And then making the connection with, like, we think we're awake and we're making these choices every day, but we're making that choice with this prefrontal cortex, which is only 5% of our brain.
Right.
Our subconscious, 95% of our brain, is running our life. And Bruce Lipton does a great job of explaining how that works, because as we're driving a car, if we're thinking about what we're doing and we're looking in the mirrors and pushing the blinker and things, we're up here in our conscious mind, we're awake. But when we arrive to our destination, we think, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
It tells us immediately, well, my subconscious took over autopilot and got me here safely, because we know how to do it and it knows how to do it, but we weren't thinking about it. So what were we thinking about? And we've got to make the connection with, in those moments, when we're operating in our subconscious mind, we're operating in most of the beliefs that we picked up between birth and 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we know that we didn't learn healthy coping mechanisms from birth to seven, then it causes us to have deeper meaning to reflect and look for problems or patterns that we can identify and rid ourselves of.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about what you're saying, and yeah, because I love like neuroscience and, you know, neural pathways. Like, I love reading that kind of stuff. I love learning more about it. And I sometimes, you know, and I don't know if you do this too, but because I want to show up as authentically as possible, I always try to ask my subconscious, or, you know, for me, I'm a believer, right? I believe in God, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in all that. So I usually try to be connected with that. Like, I'll be like, you know, Holy Spirit, am I showing up for real? Like I should be, or am I performing for the camera? Am I performing for the podcast? Am I performing for my boss? Am I performing for, you know, whatever the thing is, right? Mm-hmm. And So I'm wondering, because you've been doing this a long time and you have had clients and you're, you know, you have pulverizing the patterns. I'm just wondering, how do we show up? Like, how is it that you can spot that? Do you spot that, Jed, in other people, whether it's an authentic self-worth or if there is a performance? And how do we do that even for ourselves so we don't keep showing up in a way we don't want to?
For me, the easy way to spot it is if someone becomes defensive. If they want to become defensive about their position or argumentative, then generally that's not from an aligned place.
Yeah. I agree.
And so for me, I found a lot of that in religion. And I'm going to mention Carolyn Mace again because she's just such an amazing teacher. But she mentioned being in Catholic school. She had a Catholic nun tell her, if you leave this school defending Catholicism, then you've learned nothing. And so as I reflected on that, because of all the dogmatic beliefs from my childhood, I grew up in a very religious family. I had to stop and ask myself, okay, because I'm in line with you. Like, how do we align with spirit? How do we align with our personal mission? And who do we ask and how do we ask? And so I just found a personal way to make sure that I'm not like checking in with somebody else's agenda. Mm-hmm. Is this what I'm supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And the spirit will tell us every time it doesn't. I mean, it took me a while to make that connection better so that I trust it.
Yeah.
But I remember those first initial askings, like, is this for my highest good? Is this what I need to do? And they're not all clear messages, but you kind of get that. This is the next step kind mm-hmm. of idea. And then just have faith with it. Just keep walking. Yeah.
I love that answer. I love that, Jed, because, you know, I have sometimes the tendency to ask the question and not wait for the answer. So I'll ask the question and then I need to go search it up on YouTube, search it up on ChatGPT, search it up, you know what I mean? Instead of pausing and allowing God to tell me what that is. And all that ends up happening when I do that is I get more confused and more overwhelmed. So I've learned lately to pause and just not do that. But I'll be honest that sometimes I get it's hard for me at times because I need production to be done. I need things to happen. And there's times where God is like, no, how about you don't do anything? And you just pause because you don't know what you're doing, Nina. Shut up, right? But it's like, you know, sometimes, and I love that you said that, like sometimes it may not be completely clear, but that doesn't mean the answer isn't coming. And it will, and you'll be guided. I believe that, right? Yeah. And you know, people feel, at least a lot of the people that I speak to women all the time, and they feel stuck even after doing lots of work, you know, lots of things, lots of programs, lots of courses, lots of the things, you know, all the things that we all do as coaches, right? And they feel really stuck after doing the work. Mm-hmm. And so what do you believe is missing from like most of these healing and self-development approaches, because you got now your own approach, which I want to get into, mm-hmm. right? So I'm just wondering what you found is like really missing on these healing and self-development courses and approaches and all that stuff. What did you find? What was that gap? Why did pulverizing come out? Because you found it for a reason.
Yeah, I did. It's identity. The simple answer is identity. We've got to shift our identity. So I know in the beginning when I started my journey, I had all these people around me, not the coaches, but the people around me that would say, oh, when this person gets successful, they leave their friends behind. They left their friends behind, or this person left their friends behind. And that actually created a pattern for me that I had to overcome about trying to bring everybody with you.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
And so, like, for example, I just watched Jason Shurka. I'll always mention his name because he's been so pivotal in my life. But I watched him help a guy shift out of not smoking just by helping him shift his identity from answering the question. Like, when somebody asks you next time you want to smoke, I mean, if we stick into this identity that I'm a smoker, but I'm going to choose not to smoke right now, that's one thing. But if he just answers, I don't smoke, and it's done, And that's his, and that, and he truly adopts that a belief. The trick is truly adopting that as a
yeah,
belief.
That's the trick. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the system polarizing patterns like ultimately gets to, is how do we make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't an overnight process. We have to kind of uncover some of those things, overwrite some of those beliefs. But yeah, it's mostly finding what we've identified with to keep us in those patterns.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get away from it?
Yeah. What was the toughest one for you? What was something that was your identity, right? And it was something you had to pulverize that actually shifted your life. What was that for you?
So again, I'm going to go back to my grandmother's journal, because it was a generational pattern that I didn't know was there running my life, concerned with money. And it was just picked up as I read through the entries. I could see how my grandfather was trying to solve an issue with like systems, try to get more people in to help, or her communication wasn't clear to him that she wanted him there to help, not somebody else there. Mm. And so in their store is where the patterns really came out. The store was a baby. The store was always referred to as an infant. It needed care. It needed taken care of. It needed, so all things around money were laborsome.
Okay.
And that was passed through to my father, then down to me. And so it took me a long time to understand. I don't have to like exchange my hours for money, like mm-hmm, in a whole mm-hmm. system. But let's start exchanging value and helping people move through that. But that was a big pattern for me.
Yeah. I think it's a big pattern for a lot of us actually, right? Because, you know, a lot of us did not, you know, maybe grow up with a lot of money or beliefs around money. You know, I know for me, I didn't. So those are patterns that I still today at 52, I'm trying to recognize and break in my life. You know, my mother's patterns of, or fear of losing everything and all that kind of stuff, right, became something that I also adopted. And my husband as well, because he had his own, you know, his family, his parents were entrepreneurs, but they always fought about money. There was always issues around money. And so he also struggles with that. Right. It's a real thing. And I think a lot of people that I speak to do. They just do. Right. Inflation's up. Oh, can't, you know, we're going to die. Inflation's up, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to seeing value and opportunity. Right. Do you find that a lot in your clients?
Oh, yeah. I find it. Yeah. Even myself, like, yeah. as you're telling that story, if you go back to my story, where in 2009, I went bankrupt and mm-hmm. was divorced, mm-hmm. that fear of, I'm going to lose everything, or mm-hmm. it's so hard to keep all the things that I want in my life, you know, to keep the level where it's at, that it manifested I'm not trying to say that I created the downturn in the economy, but
right, right. No, I get it.
At the same time, I brought those circumstances to my life.
Yeah. No, I'm same. I get that. And sometimes it's because of the patterns that you have that you bring these circumstances in to begin with. Right. So talk to me about your program. Talk to me about your method, because those who are listening and, you know, I want the intention to be that they understand that there's patterns in our life. And many times, if not all, we need someone outside of us to help us recognize the patterns, right? And like you said, that you've read books or you watch videos or you do things like that, those are outside of you. But we also need people sometimes to just kind of catch our blind spots, right? So I know that that's what you're a pro at, in helping people pulverize their patterns. So I want to know a little bit more about your program and what that looks like for someone who is done, Jed, like mm-hmm. done with these patterns, right? So tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
Well, as I said, in that personal audit phase, like that's a big part of the program. And I think where a big part of my success comes from is I can hold the space for people to be open and honest about what's going on, where they've been, where they want to go. And so when we start that, and then we start to identify those patterns, right? And then always after we identify these, what I find is it's building our self-worth. It's just, many times what I find is it's difficult for a lot of Gen Xers. like I'm at the tail end of Gen X, but all of my family's Gen X. So my brain works entirely in like a whole generation older than me format. But we've got to get honest with ourselves that like what level our self-worth is at.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we can go out and perform at a job and bring in a successful income, do we really have a self-worth? Because one thing that 2009 taught me is when people lose everything, they become a lot more friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what was the change back then? Did they decide, oh, maybe the things I thought had value aren't what's really valuable because I just lost them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So we got to build that from the ground up in the very beginning.
Yeah. Do you do this as with people individually, or is it a group, or is it a month, 3 months, 6 months? Like, how does that work?
It's a 16-week program.
And okay.
We do online. We'll do one personal call a week, one group call a week, just to make sure that we're all, I mean, the individual one to make sure everybody's keeping that individual growth pattern, but there's so much value to be shared in a group.
I agree.
When I first started meditating, when I started going to a group, I was blown away with how much more effective it is. I mean, if you do 10 minutes by myself, or if I do 10 minutes with a group, it's I'm going to choose the group because it just seems to make it go smoother. So
yeah, something with the energy, right? With the energy in the room. Yeah, I agree with that, because I have my program is like group and individual. So I give them one-on-ones when they need it, but we do a lot of groups because they've learned so much from each other. And they inspire each other and they support each other. And it's just something to be said about that, right? I think we're not meant to be isolated. I think we're meant to be in community. And I think that's important. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So what's next for you, Jed? Like, what is it that you want to accomplish? What is the next like 1 to 5 years look like? What is it that you want to do with your coaching, with people? What's up with that? Tell us.
Well, I'm on a bit of a spiritual journey, so
I love it.
So healing more people is in my future.
Good answer.
That's difficult to, it's difficult to really go in because it's hard to gauge the audience level, but we're living in a time right now where like my wife's a social worker. And so she gets to see these clients just coming off the street a lot more often than I do. Like, not that the problems are less, but as everybody's coming in, everybody's anxiety level is so high.
That's true.
The biggest part of the program might be in uncovering these old patterns that are causing the cortisol levels in our mind to go up, understanding what that does to our body, because when we're operating in a high stress mode, we can't use our mind. We can't use our mind. It's just Bruce Lipton's the guy that helped me see that clearly. Like when your prefrontal cortex is shut down, how are you going to come up with a plan to change your life and be better? So
I know
we're taught, as a lot of people, at least where I was at, to, oh, you can do this. Just buck it up. Just power through it. But if you're stuck in that mindset where you have so much cortisol in your system, you can't see the forest through the trees, so to say. Then how can you create an effective plan or an effective system to get you out of that issue that you're in? That's where I think the value of coaches is just irreplaceable.
I agree.
So you find somebody that you can trust, you lean into their system, and then when you're out of it and you get that cortisol level down, then you help the next person out.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. You know, for somebody who's listening right now and they're aware, right? They have patterns. They're really aware, but that doesn't mean that they don't still feel paralyzed, right?
Yeah.
So give us like one step that they can take that can start helping them get unstuck, right? So let us know what that is. So, because I know that for me for a long time, and I'm really into personal development and neuroscience and, you know, NLP and all of that. And even with all of that, you know, I felt paralyzed, you know? And I just was very curious to know what's like one step that one person can take today towards to true change, like really starting to shift the focus.
I think the easiest lesson is, like my buddy Mark Usick says, just stop focusing on what you're not getting. Focus on how you can serve. And I know for me that that's what helped me put the program finally together and get it out. Was it's like, I've got to get the program out there so I can actually serve somebody else. And
so as, good,
it,
yeah.
as it modified, and it's still going to modify and still grow. Mm-hmm. But it's just, how do we help more people in an easier fashion? How do we keep the authenticity? How do we keep them engaged? But yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's times when I feel overwhelmed or I feel like we're not moving along the way we should or whatever, I immediately like, oh, where's the nearest soup kitchen? Let me go serve somebody, you know, let me go to some shelter or something. Let me go do something. It has to be outside of me because we can always serve someone else. I agree with that. So how do people contact you? How do they come to work with you? Like, you know, I have your website right now scrolling on the screen, but I just want to make sure that people, especially for those who are listening, right? Because I get a lot of podcast listeners, not viewers as well, right? So I get them both. So tell us how we can get in contact with you. You know, people who really want to pulverize their patterns and want to stop, just stop getting stuck. Stop, you know, living in a place where, yeah, maybe I'm producing, but I feel completely empty or frustrated inside. Right. So how do we do that, Jed? How do we work with Jed?
Well, there's a couple of easy ways. The pulverizingthepatterns.com, JedBrotherson.com. JedBrotherson.com is just really a link to my calendar to book a call with me.
Okay.
And I do those free 30-minute calls for any of your listeners, pretty much do them for anybody.
See if
this is a fit for you to, I mean, if you're done, And you're ready to move and you're ready to really make some shifts, you're ready to do that inner work. This isn't like an event. Like you go to an event and you do all these little tricks and build you up and try to just do something mentally to stimulate you mentally for a couple of weeks and then come down. You got to rebuild that self-worth and systems and everything that we use in so such good. A way that we need the 16 weeks to really get the full foundation.
Yeah. And I think people need to understand that too, Jed. I know that we're at time, but I just wanted to kind of reiterate what you just said, because a lot of people go to these 1-day event, 2-day event, 3-day events, and they think that's going to be enough. And then after like a week or so, when the high comes down, you realize it is not enough. There is a lot in us that has to come out and work through and, you know, get acknowledged and all the things. And I know that it's a lifelong thing. We're always going to be learning and developing. But you also, I feel like you should be in some sort of coaching something, right? Like I always say, coaching, yeah. Every coach needs a coach, every therapist needs a therapist, et cetera, et cetera. And it's because we all need that help to shift. We do. We all need it. Right. And so thank you so much for coming on and leaving so much value. It was so fun being on your podcast and I'm grateful that you're on mine. So thanks for being here today, Jed.
Thank you so much, Nina. I appreciate
Absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anything that I left out or anything you want to say to people before we wrap up?
You know, I would just invite people to invite more of the universe, the spirit into your life in your daily actions as you get prepared to move forward with something. Be sure to check in with yourself and ask your higher self, ask the spirit, is this going to be for my highest good? Take all your actions from that area, and things are going to start changing for the better dramatically in your life.
I love that so much. Thank you so much for being here. So cool. Thank you. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me and Jed. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, all the things, because all of you have been watching. I got like 167,000 or 200,000 views. And you guys start pressing the like button and the subscribe button, for goodness sakes. I love you guys so much. Thank you guys for being here and watching. I adore you. And if you know someone who you know needs to pulverize, you know, what they're going through and just really get unstuck and move forward and get rid of the patterns, then share this episode with them, because this is a really great place to start when you don't want to be in that place anymore. Love you guys so much. Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.